I'm going to go to John, the Gospel of John first. I'm going to read a familiar text, John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and then verses 16 to 21. And I'm also going to read from 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Which may be a little different in some Bibles, or not at all. But it's in the King James, so I'm reading it from the King James now. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, 16 to 21. Hear now God's precious word, his precious people. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. That's the Father, of course. For no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And then 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son, not his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And then hear this verse from the Epistle of John. You don't have to turn to it. It's in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. It's just one verse. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We heard about these three from John chapter 3. Once again, Heavenly Lord, we ask that thou would be with us, be here, because your people are here, your Spirit is here with us, and we are gathered around your word to hear you. And we ask that you would bless your word to our hearts and minds tonight. In your name we pray with thankfulness. Amen. Well, I want to emphasize something. I want it clear in our minds when I say, as others have said and pointed out, that Christmas is really all about family. And I want to point that out from the Bible. You just heard from John chapter 3 and from 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. But before I come to that and the framework and the foundation of my understanding, it should be your understanding, it should be all our understandings, I just want to emphasize the fact that it is all about family and about holy family at that. And so Family is very important. It's important to you. It should be important to you. I'm sure it is. And it's absolutely, positively important to God. But I want to outline why that is. Why is it so important to God? And why is Christmas, why should we say Christmas is all about family? It's what it is about. And I don't know that. I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy Christmas so much, because it's family time. It speaks to the heart. I mean, that touches the most lovely principle of our lives, our families, right? Now, sometimes families can be a little tough, but these are the people that are closest to us, our wives, our children, and then our brothers and sisters and all that, fathers and mothers. It's the way it's supposed to be anyways. It's supposed to be probably the loveliest thing about our lives outside of Christ himself. So I think the message is timely, it's appropriate, and I want to have and hold this in my mind, and I hope you do also want to have and hold it in your mind that Christmas is about family. And why that is the case is, well, for several reasons, but I want to begin by pointing out that, Christmas is about the birth of a baby, right? Baby Jesus. And he came from the womb of the Virgin. Now, he didn't have an earthly father because the Holy Spirit came upon her and he either put the egg in her, an egg that was his own doing and was fertilized and everything and it grew in her womb, or it was one of her own. I don't know, and the scripture doesn't really indicate one way or the other. I tend to think that the Spirit of God actually did the whole thing, and she carried the babe. But that's not something you need to really take to heart right now. What you need to take to heart is what the Scripture said: the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And that babe in the womb is holy. Of course, it's of the Holy Spirit. But it was a baby brought from Mary into a family. Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus. So right at the conception, family is involved, isn't it? That was what it's all about. Family is involved from the conception. But it was not an ordinary conception, was it? God's Son became a man. And he became a man from in the womb of Mary, the eternal Son of God, who lies in the bosom of the Father, was born baby Jesus. As the birth of him who was the Son of God, Christmas is about the family. It declares this family holy, pure, consecrated, good. However, what I'm speaking of first of all, and others have pointed this out, I'm speaking not of a father, mother, and children. That's not the family of which, or to which I refer. It is neither the family of believing husbands and wives and children sitting at the table, praying, reading the word, talking about the word, talking about the Christmas story. week after week or day after day, week after week. Neither, I'm not referring to Joseph, Mary, and baby Jesus. Not first of all. That's not the family. Christmas is about family. It's all about family. But mainly, it's not about Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. That's not what Christmas is really about. Why do I say that? Why do others say that? Well, where is Joseph? Joseph died. Probably early on, he died. He was much older than Mary, and he died first. So, through death, the family is dissolved. Right? Joseph, Mary, Jesus, they're no longer a family. He's dead. Mary's dead. Mary's gone. That family no longer exists. So that can't be the main reason for the season. Family, it's all about family, but it's not about mainly. It's not about that family or our families or other families. Some say that Jesus is no longer Mary's son. Remember what Jesus said to John when he was hanging on the cross? He said to John, "Behold your mother." And to John, he said to John, "Behold your mother," and to Mary, "Behold your son." What's that about? They're no longer mother and son like they were on earth. That's ended. So when we say Christmas is mainly about family, it has to be more than this. Christmas is about God. Christmas is about God revealing himself by bringing forth his Son, the incarnate Son, and having the Son reveal the Father to us, to his own parents on earth, and to all of us. Christmas is about first, mainly, the Trinity. Think about it. The Father loves the Son loves the Father in the Holy Spirit. That family, that is the Holy Family. Christmas is about that Holy Family, mainly, not exclusively, but mainly, that Holy Family. God, Jesus Christ, reveals the Father and the Spirit. We heard about that in John, from John. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that is involved in our salvation, that brings forth all the information we know about God, that God is a triune God. Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, as John put it in his first epistle. The baby of Bethlehem, well, in the Son, he lived before he was even born, Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God is eternal. He wasn't born. He existed. And in the person of Jesus Christ, he exists, the Son, God the Son, and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is both God and man. But before he became man, before he revealed himself as man, before God revealed the Son in Jesus Christ, he was the Son. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are eternally one. As one author puts it, The Trinity is family, God as family. The life of God is family life. God does not merely exist, God lives. The God revealed in the child conceived in Mary's womb, his son, is not the great hermit in heaven existing in splendid solitude. Rather, he is the Father living with the Son and the Son living with the Father in the Holy Spirit. He is the Father loving the Son and the Son loving the Father in the Holy Spirit. He is the Father communicating with the Son and the Son communicating with the Father in the Holy Spirit. Father and Son are devoted to each other in the Spirit. Each seeks the other in the Holy Spirit. And not only himself, each gives himself to the other freely and fully. And so, in one word, the life of God is truly life, but it's family life. It's the Holy Family. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this family is in fellowship with one another. And so it's the basis for the covenant that God establishes in the Scripture. Throughout the Scripture, the covenant of God, the relationship with God, the covenant relationship, the promises of that relationship, that God will be a God to us and to our children, is established in himself. He has fellowship. We can say, as some have said, family fellowship with himself. And now he invites us into that family through Jesus Christ. And so Christmas is mainly about the divine family. It could not be otherwise, right? We're talking about the divine family. We're not divine. No one else is divine. Only God is divine. The divine is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's mainly about the divine family. That's the capital Holy Family. But it's not exclusively about that. For God sent his Son into the world in the act of the incarnation. The eternal Son took to himself a human nature. The Son of God was conceived and he was born. Born into what? Jesus Christ was born into a family. Mary and her husband, Joseph. And later on, there were about four half-brothers in that family. And at least two half-sisters, according to Matthew 13. So God sent into his Son into the world, not to be some loner walking around the plains of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. God sent his Son into a family, into a God-fearing family, with Mary and Joseph to raise him, up. God saw fit to have his Son enter into a godly family where they would raise that Son up in the Lord. And so whereas it may be that Christmas is mainly about the divine family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as our salvation is mainly about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit saving us, not just Jesus. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation, right? Who's living in you now to will and to do of God's good pleasure? It's the Holy Spirit. Who sanctifies us? The Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The power of God in you. And so whereas Christmas is mainly about the light, it's not exclusively about that. For surely it's about Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. Jesus being given to a family. And later on he has half-brothers and half-sisters. The family grows. Evident in the carefully arranged circumstance of Jesus' birth is the importance of to God as to the God of the family, the God who now works redemption. It upholds and honors the ordinance that he himself established as fundamental from the beginning, Adam and Eve. They would have children, and their children have children, and so on. God established the family from the very beginning, so that by the time Jesus comes along, he comes into a family situation. Family is very important to God. But that's the point here, brothers and sisters. Its significance is simply the fact itself of a godly family as a sphere in which God's own Son increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. It was in the family setting, the family that he was given into, that Jesus increased through his mother and his father, increased in wisdom and stature. God used them to do that. And so family is of the utmost importance to God. It is valuable to God. And extends beyond the... I think a lot of Christians these days might call Joseph, Mary, and Jesus the Holy Family. And they were a Holy Family, no doubt about it. But the Holy Family is the divine one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We want us to keep the Trinity. That's who God is. Our God is the triune God. And that is of the utmost importance. But Joseph, Mary, and Jesus are holy, a holy family. God saw fit to put his son into that family. But God values family. God values family especially highly when the welfare of his own son is at stake, right? He values family ultimately because this is who he is. He's family. So he values family. And if we let this sink in deeply, I think we would understand why God is so opposed to divorce and remarriage for any and every reason. God highly values the family because he is family. And of course, that extends to our families as well. It goes beyond just Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. It extends to our Christian families. God is involved in our families. And our families, each and every one, father, mother, children, are all important to him. That's why God says, he establishes marriage. The father is to love his wife, or the husband is to love his wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself, sacrificed himself for it. And the wife is to submit to her husband, not in just anything, but in all things, just as God, as the church submits to Christ in God, in all things. That relationship between husband and wife, and the children are to be reared up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The children are to honor father and mother and their teaching. Because God is family. He takes it very seriously. And he wants our families to represent him. The covenant God, the God who has fellowship within himself, the God who has love in himself. We are to love one another. We are to
to mirror that relationship, that family relationship, if you will. It's so very, very important. That is why it pains me to hear how so many in our day devalue family. The politicians of our day, not all of them, but a lot of them, the leaders in our society, they devalue family. Yes, divorce, married, divorce, remarry, whatever, any and every reason. Homosexual marriages, they are devaluing the family, which is by God created from the very beginning, Adam and Eve and the children and all that. He brought his own son into a family life. He tells us that we are to mimic him or obey him, that the man is to love the woman as Christ loved the church and the church, and the woman is to submit as the church submits to Christ, because we're to mirror the relationship that God has, the family life that God has. The son submits to the father and the spirit and all that. We don't want to go too far with it, but this is what's so important to God. The family is so important to him. And when these people in our society who are supposed to be our leaders and our examples disdain family and bring all sorts of corruption and perversion into the family scene and want to really make the state the family, in some instances anyway, this is rebellion. This is obnoxious and terrible rebellion against God. And it should tear at our hearts a bit. Because God values the family. He sent his son to family. He tells us how to be a family. And so it is, it's a very sad thing what's going on in the world today. It's not just in our society either, it's in other places in the world as well. It's an attack on the family, right? And you hear a lot of conservative voices, but not only them, even other voices as well. It's not just the conservatives saying, hey, look, we have to get back to the family. It's the family that's causing, it's the breakdown of the family that's causing a lot of the ruckus in our society. It's family breakdown. And if you hear about these gangs, how they think and who raises them and how they're raised up and what to think and how to behave, you understand why they do what they do. Because their family structure is broken and their new family is the gang. And they learn how to relate that way. And this is the way they think. It's embedded in them. They've been raised in that environment. Not by a steadfast and godly and holy family, but by a unholy, gang-ridden family. This is the children. You see those people running into stores and looting and robbing and hurting people, beating up people, even killing people. This is what they do. This is what they've learned. They're commended for that by their mothers and fathers, if you will, in the gang, their leaders. I don't want to paint the picture that it's not their fault, but it's almost not their fault. It's the way they've been raised. This is not what God has desires, has revealed to us, would have us do. And yet, even though the main thing is the divine family, but it broadens out to include Joseph, Mary, and the baby is as a holy family. And then it broadens still further to include all of us as families. But it goes even further than that, because When you think about it, what happens to our families? Eventually, the father passes, the mother passes, children start their own family, but our families pass. We die. So it extends even beyond that, our own personal families. It extends to a broader family. See, God sent his son into the world to save a people, to give them the spirit so that they are born again, born anew, and they become the sons and daughters of the living God. And so God is, through the ages, and especially from Jesus' time, it's clearer. From Jesus' day on, he has been gathering a people from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. And he's been bringing in sons and daughters and adding to his family. And he is adding that family, the sons and daughters, the children, into the fellowship with him. In his family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They, his children, enter into fellowship with him. So God has broadened the family, not only to include our individual families, but to include all the people of God, the church, in other words, the church of Jesus Christ. That family of sons and daughters brought into the family of God is the eternal family of God. And that is the main thing that God is doing in this world. He's gathering a people from himself, from all over, in every age. He's gathering people, bringing them into fellowship with his family to be the family of God in the new heaven and new earth. All brothers and sisters. All children. Sons and daughters of the living God. That's the picture that we have in the Bible. That is the main idea of Christmas. The divine family first, then the family of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, then our families individually, then the church family universally, brought in to fellowship with the family, the divine family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is about this family. It's fellowship with God, and it's fellowship among the members themselves, the church. The church is the holy family of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Lord, we thank thee for thy word. It's just wonderful as you open up the scripture to us more and more when we read these things. We don't get all of it all at once, and there's so much more to understand and to learn. And if we have 2, 3, 4, 5, 1,000 lifetimes, we wouldn't learn everything about it. But this is important. And we are thankful for Christmas because it does teach us so very much. It teaches us about you and about what you have done in bringing forth your Son and the Son incarnate and revealing the Father to us and bringing the Holy Spirit into our lives. A trinity of love and hope. And Heavenly Father, we do pray that we would not listen to what the others are saying, the negative things they're saying about family, or the worst, the perverse things they're saying, but rather that we would cherish our families That we would desire to make them represent your family, the divine family, more and more. That we take your word to heart, to home with us. Sanctify us, Lord, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's